Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your word. Lord, we would ask as we continue on in our focus, Lord, on the acts of God through his church, really reaching out through the church, what the church is called to do, what we, the church, are called to do. Father, I pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, that I would get out of the way. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak through your word. And Father, that we would be different because of the truth of your word, changing us from the inside out. Speak to us, Lord. We desire to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to start by asking a question. How does the world look at the church? How does our own backyard, how does our neighborhood look at the church in general and look at this church? When you see people who haven't been inside this building ever, what do you think their picture of the church is? What's that?
Stale.
That's one of the things you hear, isn't it? Oh, that's an old book from old times. It's an old way of thinking. What else?
Judgmental.
Why would I go to church? You know, one of the things I've heard often, some form of the phrase, why would I want to go to church? I'd just be judged. You know what? Yeah. Hypocritical. And you know what I always say on hypocritical? Because what is a hypocrite? Somebody who says one thing and does another. My response is, man, to people who have all these kind of thoughts about the churches, you're right, we are hypocritical. You're right. Because I love Jesus, I've been transformed by the truth of his word, and yet I sin. And so don't go to church to have the example of Christ be, don't follow just the religion of church atmosphere and doing church things. We go to church to be in the presence of God, to grow in our love for Jesus. We go there to, because we are all broken and in need. And but we do have a calling. We do have a calling as the church. God has given us his truth of how to live, how to be transformed, and how to live in a way where we have less of our junk that comes out and more of the Holy Spirit working through us, God himself. What does the word of God say about the church? 1 Timothy 3:15, at the end of 3:15 says, the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. The church is the pillar. It's what we're founded on, and it's the truth, the word of God. The church itself is the foundation and the truth by which we live. God's church is the source and support of all real knowledge of life. So as we continue on in looking at how we, the church, minister to people in our own backyard, to the ends of the earth. As we look at that, we're continuing on in the book of Acts. And so we're starting in Acts 15 and moving forward. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120 and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of all his bowels gushed out. It became known to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. Judas. First, think about this. Sometimes in ministry, you invest in people's lives, And it can be discouraging because sometimes you'll invest in people's lives and then they'll a percentage will turn away. Well, you got to figure Jesus went 11 for 12, so we're in pretty good company, right? I mean, here's one of the 12 that has turned, that whose heart was never towards him, who was looking for a leader of this earth and never got it, but actually turned on him and handed him over. And in there was a need to replace Judas because it was important that there were 12 disciples. In Revelation, John sees a shining city of God coming down out of heaven. And there is a wall around the city with 12 gates. Over each gate is the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the wall also has 12 foundations. And each foundation bears the name of one of the apostles of the Lamb. So there must be 12. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he uses two symbols, which I think will help us understand the true nature of the church. The two are the body and the building. The body, God appointed Jesus, the body. God appointed Jesus in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it says, God appointed Jesus to be head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is the living body of Jesus Christ on earth. And then the building, Christians are members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So the church is the building inhabited by the Lord. These two symbols, the body and the building, help us understand this scripture in Acts. Acts 1 is the foundation is laid for the building, and Acts 2, the beginning of the church, the unveiling of the body. In Ephesians 2:20, it says, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The broken fellowship of the apostles must be mended. And that's why they had to figure out, what are they going to do? So Acts 1:20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let this, speaking of Jesus, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. You see, the scripture had to be fulfilled, and he goes to two places here in Psalms 69:25 and Psalms 109:8, and they're quoted in this scripture here. And there's two areas that we see that have to be fulfilled for these scriptures. The first is this new 12th apostle had to be with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. He had to be with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. And the other one that says right at the end there, the new apostle had to have witnessed the appearance of Jesus and of his resurrection and after he was resurrected. Well, they look at two guys. And it's important that this spot be filled, but it be filled by somebody who's done these two things. Verse 23, and they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus. I like that name, Justus. And Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who knows the heart of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The apostles' role. What was their role? What was their qualifications? What was it needed to be an apostle? They were needed to be sent out to be pioneers. They needed to be willing to go to places where the gospel wasn't. They needed to be bringing the good news. We've just heard about the message going forward in Uganda and people being transformed by the gospel and helped physically and emotionally, spiritually. God's involved in the lives, the whole person of lives of people. And these apostles had to be willing to go to new places. Thomas went to India, Peter to Europe. They all went to different places. The apostles were also sent as proclaimers to preach the good news and to share the message as the Holy Spirit was giving them. They needed to be hearing from God and sharing what God was teaching them. That's why they spoke with authority. They not only had to be pioneers and proclaimers, but they need to be sent out as examples. Examples of how the Holy Spirit transforms lives. And guys, is it any different for us? We need to be willing to go to new places for us. We need to be going into situations that we don't fully understand, don't fully know. We need to be willing to go away from our comfort zones and to people and into people's lives, people who don't know Jesus Christ. And we have to be willing to go there and share the truth of what God did in our lives. Guys, you want to share with somebody, one of the best ways to witness about your faith is share what God's done in your life. It's real simple. Share where he met you, where he met you in your brokenness. And do it in relationship. Establish relationships with people. Get to know them, love them, pray for them. Then when you share with them, or maybe you're just meeting somebody for the first time and you feel led by the Holy Spirit to say something, maybe something small, maybe something a little bigger, in your heart, in your mind, pray for them first. Be willing to be proclaimers. And then know that you are examples. We are all examples of the gospel. We are examples of who Jesus Christ is. Because why? If we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Christ lives in us. And now we get to be the example to others of who he is by our lives, by the way we love them. Even those who are harder to love. Even those that are more of a challenge. And as we come to Acts 2, the metaphor changes. The church is not pictured as the building, but it's pictured as the body. And we are witnesses here to the birth of the body. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And guys, as we go through the scripture, I want to focus on the area. There's a lot of talk about different specifics of this scripture. I don't want to get lost in the weeds of the specifics. I want to look at what is this scripture talking about, the first four verses, and it'll go on more as in further weeks. But what is this? What's the whole of this scripture, the main focus of this scripture? Verse 1 of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each of one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Guys, this event happened when? On the day of Pentecost. And so the timing and how it's all put together is so important here. The Greek word Pentecost means the 50th day. The 50th day. It took place 50 days after the Passover feast. It was the Jewish feast commemorating God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. And this feast was also called the Feast of the Wave Loaves. The Feast of the Wave Loaves. Pentecost came at the end of the wheat harvest in Palestine. And the Jews were to take this freshly harvested wheat, the first fruits of the harvest, and they were called to bake two loaves symbolizing the two bodies from which the church would be formed, the Jews and the Gentiles. And Jesus said he first came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Jews. But he also said, referring to the Gentiles in John 10:16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." One flock and one shepherd. On the day of Pentecost, God brought Jews and Gentiles together. Guys, this is miraculous. The Jews and the Gentiles never came together. They were separate, and they had to be. And here, the two loaves of the Feast of Weeks were to be baked with, this is another cool thing about it. The two loaves, they were to be baked with leaven. They were to be baked with leaven, which is yeast. And leaven is a symbol of what? Sin. And so the wave loaves were the only sacrifice in all the Old Testament that ever included leaven. Why? Because God was telling us that the church is not made out of perfect people. I love that. Saints who struggle with sin. Guess what? Each of us struggles in different ways. And guys, we need to have a whole lot of grace for each other, because we all have some leaven in us, don't we? We all have areas that we struggle with. And if you don't think you struggle with anything, your struggle is arrogance. Just a thought. All of us struggle. All of us have areas that we're working through. And God uses these two loaves. And I love that picture of the two loaves being used and being brought together, the Jew and the Gentile. And the heart of what the beginning of the church is, the big picture of what it's saying is, you know what? My church brings people together under my name. And you guys have separated yourselves by all these categories. Guess what? Are we still doing the same today? Why is it that Sunday morning is one of the mornings where we have churches that have white people in this church and black people in this church and Asian people in this church, and you go down the list, Hispanic people in this church? Praise God for our family here, because we're in a community that's multicultural. But we need to continue to grow and look like our culture, because that's our family out there, our future family coming in. And praise God that we have a church that gets that. But we need to continue to grow in it. We need to continue to be going in the heart of what happened on this day, which is people who were divided because of the way we divide ourselves are brought together by the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. God has something very, very special for His church. In this beautiful symbolism, we get a glimpse at the heart of the church. You guys, it's beautiful. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit made these people from different groups. He made them one. He made them one. What is one of our main callings as a church body? What is it we're called to do in Skyway? We're called to reach out. Remember what we talked about last week? From 1-8, Jerusalem. That they're going to be sent out, and they're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, starting in your own backyard, Jerusalem, Judea, going further out, Samaria, to the people that The Samaritans, the people that nobody, none of the Jews wanted to know, the people in our community that are left aside. I was really challenged. I smelled something. I was sitting in Starbucks, and I'd finished with a meeting, and I was waiting for my next one. And as I was there, the beautiful smell of coffee in Starbucks, even if you don't like the taste of coffee, most people like the smell. But that beautiful smell was interrupted by a stench. And I remember thinking, ugh. And I looked up, and I saw a gentleman who was obviously homeless. And from the street, he had all his stuff with him. But he wasn't alone. There were two women that had come in to Starbucks with him. Before I knew anything that was going on, I noticed the smell, and I was annoyed. It was my first, before I knew what was going on, I was annoyed by a smell. And I look up, and here's these two women. And they're not just getting him coffee. They're getting him some coffee and some, and they're talking with him and they're laughing. And I'm sitting there and I start kind of listening to the conversation. Ever been a nosy noose? I was a total nosy noose. But I was listening. And they weren't doing a good work. They were loving someone. They were loving him in Christ. And they were hearing his story. And I got to hear part of his story. I couldn't make all of it out. But I got to hear part of his story. And guys, that's the church. That's the gospel being lived out. And then I thought, man, my first reaction was pure annoyance. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We need to be willing to go out to the places that God has called us. And back to John 10:16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. As there is one flock. We are a small part of one church, the family of God. Pray for us. Pray for us, because right now we want to be ministering. We want to be reaching out to the young people in this area. And there's some opportunities for maybe some churches to get together and work together, maybe bring somebody in who can minister to Skyway through multiple churches. It's not a traditional way of doing things. We don't know for sure if we're going to do it. But pray for us. It's an opportunity to minister and bring the gospel in. It's also a great way to bring churches together, because it's not about our kingdom here in this church. It's about God's kingdom in Skyway and to the ends of the earth. And God wants to move mightily. And what a message. Because so many people, when they think of the church, why do they think negative things of the church? Often because they see the way the churches react towards each other or those outside the church. But what if the church starts loving people from other churches? What if we get to know other pastors and other churches? And it's not like, oh, what do they want? Are they going to take some of our people? But it's hey, we're in this together. And we start appreciating. Boy, I tell you, you guys have heard. Jared has spoken here. And what a blessing to have a pastor from another church come here and speak and share and give his heart. Because, guys, we're in this together. And it's about God's kingdom. And so as we're looking to move forward, the mindset that we want to stay out of is the very mindset that came on this day, on the 50th day of the festival, which is the mindset of, here's these two bits. Here's a way to bring two groups of people who are separated together. Here's a way for us to minister and to go outside these walls and find ways of connecting with the people in our community who are different than us and love them into the kingdom. And guys, We're not the ones who bring people to Jesus Christ. I want to end with this. We're called to reach out in love and truth. We're not to change the gospel. We're not to change the word of God to make it more palatable. It's plenty palatable. It's the truth. It's what saves. The truth of the word of God is what saves, of what transforms. It's God's word, God's revelation. When we read the word of God, we're hearing God's voice. We're getting to know him intimately. And so, man, when we come together, I want to encourage us. Let's be looking to hear from God. As we look to say, how do we reach this community? How do we find ways to connect? Let's not allow ourselves to be defined by programs. The programs serve the relationships of ministry. Programs that are there to serve the relationships of Christ living through us and ministering to others through us. Be in prayer. Our children's church, our youth, these are ways that we can connect with community. As we share lives and share the lives of young people, it's a natural, organic way to connect. And so God has a mighty work for us. And it's specific. But at the heart of it, it's the same message that is the message here, which is what? He's calling us to come together. He's calling us to reach out to those who are different and for the many who are different to become one in Christ. And that's why we can be, guys, we are a very diverse church family. We really are. We're not only diverse in color. Think about it. There's so many things. We're politically diverse. Praise God, we don't focus on politics. We focus on Jesus. But we've got people from all different backgrounds. And the world says, we've got to hate each other over politics. We say, no, it doesn't matter. It's different people with different mindsets, different ways of thinking that want to make things better. But we come together under Christ. So it's not just color. It's not just politics. It cultures. It's economics. Praise God. You don't have to be in a certain field. This church is for people who are in this economic situation. No, we're together, right? We're together. Praise God for that. Praise God we're not just around people who are just like us. I was so excited. I was visiting my dad in the hospital last night. And right near the end of the time that I was there, we were talking. We had a great time. As we were talking, a woman from Uganda came in. And I looked at her, and she had lost most of her accent, so I could tell she'd been in the States for a while. But I heard something familiar, that Ugandan twang. And I was like, where are you from? And she said, Uganda. I said, I told you, Dad. And so then she started sharing, and she was training to become a nurse. And when she finished, guess what? She was going back to be a nurse in Uganda. How cool is that? Because her heart is transformed. So now, man, we get to share what we have. We get to use what God has given us. Our relationships, our abilities, our passions, our gifts, our treasures, our families, our friends. We get to use the relationships to serve Jesus Christ. And it's exciting, guys. It's exciting when you see things change, when you see how connected everything is. I want to encourage us. Let's stay strong. Let's stay connected and committed to the calling of Christ to bring the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, to bring the gospel to the people in our communities and far beyond, even Uganda, the ends of the earth. In a little bit, we're going to have the offering. We've given Jonathan a small gift. But I want to encourage you, if there's something besides the offering that you've planned for the church, if God is speaking to you, designate it. If God is speaking to you, move. If God is ever speaking to you, take a step forward in what he's saying. Because it's not about our kingdom, is it? It's about his kingdom. And he wants to do a mighty work through his people. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've taken kind of a big picture, especially of the first four verses of chapter 2, Lord, I just pray that next week as we dive in a little bit more specific, but Lord, I pray that today as we take that bigger picture, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage us to be committed to be one. And Father, for that to happen, there can't be anger, bitterness, unforgiveness in our hearts for one another. For us to be one, there has to be forgiveness. There has to be reconciliation. As far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on us, Lord, we desire to be a people who are committed to forgive as Christ forgave us. And God, we know, Jesus, you forgave us while we were still in our sin. You died on the cross while we were enemies of God. We didn't deserve forgiveness. None of us deserve forgiveness, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet Christ died on the cross and rose again and conquered death and conquered sin and has provided a way for us to be with him in eternity. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who is outside of faith in Jesus Christ, religion aside, if they don't know you intimately and personally, Jesus, if they haven't believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again and is preparing a place for us, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to them right now. And they would reach out in humility, ask for forgiveness of sins, and commit to following you, to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Give us a heart for this community. Give us a heart for South Seattle, for Tukwila, for Skyway, for Renton. Lord, give us a heart for the people a little bit further out. Give us a heart for the people in Uganda. Give us a heart for the people at the ends of the earth. And Lord, where we can touch people, where we can get involved in people's lives, give us a heart to say, I'm going to get involved. And we know that there's a cost. There's always a cost of time, of effort, of love. Sometimes when we get involved in people's lives, we'll be disappointed. There's a cost, Lord. Father, may we count the cost. May we let it go. May we say, you know what? I'm committed like Christ was committed to me. I'm going to commit to loving people even if it hurts, even if there's a cost, even if some take advantage. I'm committed because Christ is committed to me. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Give us a heart of being one, united in the gospel of Christ Jesus. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.